Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
As we're carrying on our generous series, it's Pastor Nelly and Tina are some of the most generous people that I know. So I'm learning from these guys. They're just amazing. So it's a real privilege to be back here and to be with you guys. But we're talking today about tithes and offerings. Who's excited about tithes and offerings? Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Wow, that's great. Wow, yeah, awesome. God had set up, especially in the Old Testament, and we're going to learn about the New Testament as well, a system that he wants us to be blessed people so that we can be a blessing and that we can give glory to God. And so the tithes and offering really shows us about that. And I'm going to show us what the Bible really says about tithes and offerings. So let's, just as we begin, let's pray. Let's close our eyes and pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, Lord, that shows us your truth about giving, about tithes and offerings, about your generosity to us, Lord God, that helps us to be a generous people. And we pray that you really reveal that to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So our journey begins here in Egypt. Egypt represents the kingdom of Satan and sin. The Israelites were in slavery for hundreds of years. But God raised up a deliverer named Moses who led them out of Egypt. They traveled towards the promised land of Canaan, but it was a journey that was only supposed to take a short amount of time. But they were people who just kept complaining. They would say things like, "Moses! Why did you bring us here? It would have been better for us to live as slaves in Egypt than to die here in the desert." And those words were a curse to them. Because they actually did die in the desert. That whole generation that was supposed to go to there, they died in the desert until God raised up a new generation and led them into the promised land. This is Canaan. This is God's kingdom, his righteousness. And God, he set up the land, divided it into for the different tribes. There's 12 tribes. One of the tribes did not get land. Their inheritance was the tithe or the tenth of the produce of the land. So what would happen was that the farmers, they would sow the seed. The plants would grow up. And then the first fruits, they would take the first fruits to the priests. That was an offering. That was a deposit guaranteeing what was to come. And after all the harvest had been brought in, all the whole harvest, then a tenth of the produce, they would give it to the priests for their inheritance. So that was the system that God set up, the tithes and the offerings. So he took them from Egypt, from Satan's kingdom, journey, they had a born-again experience, new creation, new generation, and he came into the promised land. And then he divided it up so that they would have a different portion. So offerings, I want to suggest to you, are like a seed that you sow. So we have the offering here of the first fruits. Okay, that was an offering that they gave. But I also want to suggest to you, from what the Bible says, that the seeds that they actually sowed was also like an offering. I'm going to explain a little bit about that later. And tithes are like a tax you owe. So the tenth of the produce of the land, the 10% was like a tax that they had to pay for the land that they had. Okay, so we're going to have a look now at the offerings in the New Testament. I'm kind of going a little bit backwards, but it's going to explain about the seed thing. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. I'll just see if I can get that on my phone. The gifts you sent. Now, these gifts were a monetary gift. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Not according to your riches, his riches. It's pretty exciting, right? So we can see there that it's a monetary offering, and they are an acceptable sacrifice to God. Here's another one in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 19. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. Okay, so there we see again the word offering there. Next one, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So, you know, if you just give a little, you're going to get back a little, right? If you give a lot, well, you expect a little bit more. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So it does matter what your motivation is, right? It does matter when you give that you're not just seeking to get back, or you're seeking to get people to acknowledge what you've done. But he wants you to be a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Did you hear that? That's a lot. There's so much there. Did you see that? I don't even know if we've got time to look at that. 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Okay, so here he is. God, he's supplying your seed and he will increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. There's a lot there, isn't it? So he gives you the seed and he makes it so that it grows, so that your harvest is huge, it's plentiful. There's so much in that. Okay, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You're blessed so that you can be a blessing, so you can give glory to God. Right? See the pattern there? But that's talking about seed, but does it mean seed? No, he's talking about money, isn't he? In this particular verse, he's talking about money. It's not about the seed. But I happen to have some seeds right here. Not banana seeds, a little bit bigger. Oh, got some extra bits. So as you can see, that's a seed. Actually, it's not a seed. I don't know what it is, but it looks like a seed. So but you can see these. You can see them here. So now I could, you know, take the seed, like as a farmer, you know, goes and buys the seed and everything, and he goes and throws it like this, and he doesn't quite throw it because it costs a lot of money, right? And seeds just don't grow on trees. Well, they kind of do, but okay. Now, if I just sow, you know, let's say 4 seeds like that, right? What's going to happen? Not much right now, but after a period of time, you expect there to be some trees and then some fruit of the trees, and you know, there'd be multiplication of that seed. But that's not very much, right? God doesn't want us just to be just so sparingly. He wants us to, I wish I had a few more hands here. He wants us to be a bit more generous. He wants us to go like that, you know, to, and then you've got more chance of there actually being trees and stuff like that. Okay, so if you sow like that, then you're going to, you know, you're going to get a lot more trees. You're going to get a lot more fruit. So it's not just, you don't just get, sow one, get one. You sow one, get 100 or 1,000. Because you think of an apple, you know, apple. You sow an apple seed, become a tree, multiple in that fruit. There's like about, well, I don't know, quite a lot in the fruit. So there's a multiple of what was sown, not just one or two. Now, but sowing and reaping, this is the law here. It covers absolutely every single area of our lives. Did you realize that? So we're not just talking about money. We're talking about every single area of your life. Oh, whoa, thank you. Thank you, Daniel. So we've got a seed. For example, here's like a seed. You have a seed thought, which becomes an imagination, which then becomes a desire, which becomes an action, you know. And it covers every area of our life, sowing and reaping. All right, let's have a look at the offerings in the Old Testament. We have our first mention of our offering with Cain and Abel. Now, Abel, he brings along, you know, sheep or whatever it was. It was the best, you know, the first, and he takes it along and he presents it to God, and he wanted to give this. And so, you know, God was pleased with his offering. And Cain, his brother, you know, probably finds some watercress in the ditch here or something like that, or whatever it is, and the vegetables, and he puts it on the altar and thinks that God's going to accept that, and God sees his heart. It's not necessarily that it's a bad gift. He sees his heart and knows that it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to him. It's not the best. He's not putting his best forward. Second mention is Noah. Noah, we're just seeing here with the Old Testament and the New Testament match up, right, with what we're talking about, with seed. And we see with Noah, he, after the flood, there was, he sacrificed all these different animals, clean animals and animals, you know, birds and stuff like that. He sacrificed all these animals. The third mention of the offering is Abraham and his son. He's got, and I don't suggest you do this one, but he's got a son on the altar and he's about to kill him. And God says, okay, because God told him to do it. God says, stop. So this is a bit confusing anyway. So, and he provides a ram for him as a substitute for his son. So we know that this is pointing to what Jesus did for us on the cross. But all those things I would suggest to you, I know it looks a bit, sounds a bit far-fetched right now, are actually seeds, all those offerings. Now, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, it talks about the first thing that God created was a plant with seed in it. Another thing that he created was animals, and they came from the earth. We know that man was created from the dust of the earth, right? And all these things, and even we are the seed of Abraham and all these kinds of things. So I want to suggest to you that all these things here are like a seed. So we can see there's a kind of a matching there from the New Testament. So what is an offering? Offerings were a sacrifice of seed to God. So here, we don't have time to go into it. I just wanted to show you because it makes me look like I know what I'm talking about with a big thing there. So, but all of the, on the side here, on the left-hand side, there's all the different offerings. We have on the right-hand side, we have the purpose of the offerings. And all of these different things, they were from the land, again, like from the seed. So when we were talking about the tithes before, the tithe was from the land. And this is the offering part. There was a time in the New Testament when Jesus was teaching like 5,000 people. They had just come up to a mountain to hear him speak. And it was starting to get late, and his disciples were pretty clever, and they thought, they came up with a cunning plan. They said, oh, Jesus, we reckon you should send the people away because they're hungry. And Jesus looks at the disciples and goes, well, you feed them. And they look at all the people out there and they go, it would take a year's wages to feed all these people. And this little boy comes up on the side and he goes, comes up to the disciples and says, excuse me. My mum gave me this lunch. Do you think you can use it? And the disciples say, can't you see we're working here? Well, Jesus comes back up to the disciples and he says, so what have you got? Disciples look around. He says, kid, hey, kid, come here. Give me that. Oh, Jesus, all we got is a couple of loaves of bread and some fish. And Jesus takes it from them and says, okay, that's enough. Breaks the bread, gives it to the disciples. And then the miracle happened and all the 5,000 people were fed just from that boy's lunch. It was like that boy's lunch was, you know, a seed for the feeding of the 5,000. So what would have happened if that little boy didn't bring his lunch or didn't give his lunch? You know, not too sure exactly. But I haven't thought about it in depth. But, you know, we need to give God something to work with, you know, a seed. I remember when I was at university, I was a poor student. I mean, most students are poor, right? Don't have any money. So, but I wasn't earning any money. And I just become a Christian. And I decided I heard about this tithes thing and I didn't understand it, but I decided I wanted to give every week. And I thought all this tithing. And so every week I'd give like a little bit of money and it was consistent. But and I thought that was the right thing to do and I wanted to do it. And then I remember years later, I just almost like God was saying to me, look at the blessings that you have now. Can you remember that money that you gave when you were a student? It was like, oh, that was almost like seed. It was like seed for blessings in the future. You know, obviously the feeding of the 5,000 was an immediate blessing, but, you know, sometimes a seed can take a while to grow, but you can expect it to come back. It's a law that just works. So, you know, people will say, oh, no, God, come and bless me. You know, where's God? I have no money. Come bless me. You know, whatever. But it's like, well, what are you giving God? What are you giving God to work with? You know, so many needs in the world. You know, God just go like that, and you know, but he's not moved by need. He's moved by faith. So you've got to give something, you know, you've got to give some sort of seed, you know. And that's what the offering is. Again, seed. That's what God says. Okay, so this is the tithe. So what is a tithe? Deuteronomy 14:22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year. So you can see here in the Old Testament that tithing was tied to the land, and it was of the increase of the seed. Okay, so the tenth. Leviticus 27:30, all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. All that passes under the rod, a tenth shall be holy to the Lord. So again, of the land. Where were the tithes to be paid? Numbers 18:24. But the tithes of the sons of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said to them, among the sons of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. The Levites didn't have any inheritance. The tithe was, or the tenth was their inheritance. If we go to have a look at the first mention of the tithe, when you're looking at the Bible, the first mention of something in the Bible sets a precedent for anything else that's to come in the future. So we look at this, there's a strange guy named Melchizedek. I don't know if he was strange, but it's a strange name. He was a king and a priest, which was very rare, and he came from this place called Salem, which some people believe was Jerusalem. Some people believe that he's actually the incarnation or the physical manifestation of Jesus in the Old Testament. And we'll look at a verse in the New Testament. So here he comes, this king comes out. Abraham has just won this battle, and he has the spoils of war, and he gives this king a tenth of the spoils of war. And so it wasn't he didn't have to think about it. It's just something that he did, because in those times, if you're in someone's land, you pay them a tenth, right? That's what happens. You're in someone's kingdom. Again, God's kingdom, we abide by the rules. Same here. So he gave the tenth. Now, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, immediately after this, it says that God says to Abraham, I am your shield, your very great reward. And this is something that my kids made this morning. A shield. So what do you use a shield for? What's a shield to be used for? It's for protection, right? I mean, if I didn't have the shield, I mean, could have been tragedy here today, but luckily I brought this with me, because you never know when you're going to need protection from a flying jandal. So it's for protection. Now, if we look at second mention of the tithe here in Genesis 28, Jacob, Abraham's son, says to God, he's had this amazing experience with God, and he says to God, if you protect me, I will pay you the tenth. So these two verses almost say the same thing, don't they? I mean, they don't say the same thing. One says, talks about shield, other talks about protection. Let's go to the next verse. Okay, Malachi chapter 8 to 12. Will a mere mortal rob God? You rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Ouch. That's not good. Robbing is what? Stealing? Is that a good thing? Oh, I don't think so. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. The only place in the Bible he says to test him, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, there will not be room enough to store it. Wow. That sounds pretty big, doesn't it? That sounds huge. Okay, so hang on a minute. He's talking about the tithes. Now, we're saying that the offerings is what? For increase. The tithes are for protection. That doesn't sound like protection. That sounds like increase, doesn't it? Verse 11, though. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. What does that sound like? That sounds like protection, doesn't it? If you prevent pests from devouring the crops, that sounds like protection. And the vine in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe. So, wow, so, you know, fruit usually drops because of storms that come through and stuff like that. So there's protection from those things as well, says the Lord Almighty. Then, verse 12, then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So you see how it works there. The tithes and the offerings work together. Because of the protection of your harvest, protection of the crop that you had there, you will see this bountiful harvest. Right? You see how it works? Tithes and offerings are not the same thing, but they work in sync. You don't have one without the other. You've got to have protection to make sure that you get the full harvest, or even a, a bigger harvest than you would expect. Okay, so what is the tithe? It's a tenth of your increase, which is paid to God. A purpose of the tithe, it is a rent or a tax as a contribution to God's work. And the benefit to you is a protection of what you have. That doesn't sound very exciting, does it? Doesn't really sound that exciting to get protection, but you need it. You need it to get the blessing that God wants you to be blessed with so that you can be a blessing and give glory to God. All right, let's go to the tithing in the New Testament now and have a look what it says there. Now, this, before we really get into this, this is very controversial. There's people in both camps who say that the tithe is supposed to continue. There's others that say, no, that was Old Testament thing. It's not supposed to continue. And a lot smarter people than me would say that it's not supposed to continue. Let's have a look at what the Bible says, New Testament. Luke 11:42, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and pass over judgment and the love of God. You ought to have done these and not left the other undone. So he's talking to the Pharisees here, and he's saying, just as Jesus saying, you tithe all these things, but you don't love people and you don't love God. He said you should love people and love God and also do tithing. Now that sounds pretty clear, doesn't it? But people would say that he's talking to the Pharisees and they're under the law, therefore they're just carrying on with the law. But it's like, here's a good opportunity for Jesus, if it wasn't going to continue, to say something like, you should love people and love God, and then just leave it there. But he says, no, continue tithing. It's like, well, why did he have to put that in there? I don't know. You know, and some would also say that, you know, when we're talking about tithing, we're talking about this over here, Old Testament. And we're talking about under the law. They were under the law. It's just tied to the land, right? Tithing is tied to the land. That's what we've discovered. Well, so is offerings. And you know that the kingdom of God is no longer a piece of land. It's here. The kingdom of God is within us, right? We carry the kingdom of God. So we need to think about these things as well. And also people would say, you know, if you do one part of the law, you've got to do everything. This isn't a salvation issue. This isn't about salvation. If you don't tithe or whatever like that, you know, if you don't get baptized or whatever, you're not going to go to hell. It's all about heart. You know, what is relationship with God? That's how you're saved. Not through anything that you do. But that doesn't mean that that's not true. Let's just see what else it says. 1 Corinthians 9:13-14. Don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, I think that could be important, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Okay, so he's saying, now there's tithes and offerings were given to the priests, the Levites and the priests. So it could be just that it's about offerings. But he's saying here that this is how they got their food from it. So in the same way that these people were given their food, shouldn't the people who preach the gospel, who are pastors, who are teachers, who are evangelists, shouldn't they also get money from that? Similar or the same way as in the Old Testament. Same pattern. Okay, next one, in Hebrews 7. Now, okay, this chapter is amazing. There's so much into it. This chapter here, Hebrews 7, is about the superiority of Jesus' priesthood. It's a better covenant with better promises, and we have a higher standard to attain to. You know, it's not like, we're Christians now. Okay, yeah, we can do whatever we want, and just that was the Old Testament. It's like, well, actually, God expects us to do more. Expect greater things from us because we have a greater revelation. Here's this strange guy, Melchizedek, again. This obscure verse in Genesis, but we see this Melchizedek. We don't have time to look at the verse, this chapter, I mean. But we have this king, and it says that Melchizedek comes out and that the Levites, the priests, they would give, it was like they were giving their tithes to their ancestor Abraham, who gave it to this guy Melchizedek, who is basically the same as Jesus. You read it for yourself, you'll see this, that the line of Melchizedek is an eternal priesthood. It's an eternal priesthood. It doesn't finish. It keeps going. So, and he talks about the tithe here. Why does he need to talk about the tithe? There's other things he could talk about. Again, some people would say, well, like, hey, Abraham only gave once to Melchizedek. You know, therefore we only need to, you know, it's only given once. It's like, well, that's not, those kinds of things that are irrelevant, because
we need to look at what the New Testament is actually saying right here about tithes and offerings. So you need to look at that verse yourself. So I remember the time when we were, and we lived in a warehouse. That's a long story. I don't want to go into that. But my wife is a great baker, and she had this bread maker, which she'd make bread every morning. It's like, oh man, this smells so good. One day it broke, you know, and I was heartbroken. But we had other things break as well, like one of the kids' pram, and we had dishes break, and all kinds of things. Finally, one day I was just driving along in Avondale, Rosebank Road, New Zealand. The van just went, just died. It's like, no. I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm a sinner. You know, I've done something wrong, and I couldn't, because all these things are breaking. I thought, there's some sort of persecution, or I'm a sinner, and I'm repenting to God and stuff like that. And the source pops into my mind, and I look at my wife and go, did you pay the tithe? And she goes, I don't know. And so we go home, we check in online, and say, oh, we didn't. So we paid the tithe. There was another time a couple of years ago when we were here in Brisbane, where we had these two computers, and they both went kaput at the same time. And it's like, oh, no. And I'm going, oh, no, what's wrong? And I look at my wife, did you pay the tithe? And she goes, oh, I don't know. Like, we had a phone, we could go online. She checks, it's like, oh, I didn't pay that. So, you know, I'm not blaming, well, I can't. I kind of am blaming her, but she handles all the finance. But it's not like we didn't want to tithe. We wanted to tithe, just we have complicated. It's complicated. Don't worry about it. So, but this has happened so many times, it's embarrassing. this kind of thing. And it's like, well, from my experience and what the Bible says, it kind of seems to match up that the tithe still is relevant today in this time. It's like, wow. A couple of those things there got me looking at what the Bible said about these things and tithes and offerings. You know, again, here we look at here what the Bible says about tithes. Tithes are like a tax you owe. Offerings are like a seed you sow. Tithes equals tax equals protection. Offerings equals seeds equals increase. So again, you know, God wants us to be blessed so that we could be a blessing, right? It's not about us being under a law. There are commands that God has given us in the New Testament that we've got to keep. It's not about that at all, or about salvation issue at all. It's about He wants us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing, so that we can give glory to God, right? So I just want to challenge us all, myself included, what is it that you're giving to God? What is the thing that you're giving to God so that He can bless you, so that you can be a blessing, that you can give, you know, bring glory to God? That's the challenge today. You know, God wants us to be a generous people. And again, the Old Testament, they were generous, but He wants us to be even more generous, I believe.
Wow, wasn't that great? Can we give Dave another round of applause? That was an amazing. Thank you so much, Dave, for that message and that character sketch. That was beautiful, beautiful. I honestly feel like, and it's something that I've often shared, that the best way to not worry about money is to give it away. More than just the act of tithing, I hope you caught Dave's heart behind the statement of the tax being what we owe and the offering being what we, the seed that we sow. More than that is the heart behind our giving, because God loves a cheerful giver. The word in the Greek for cheerful in 2 Corinthians 9, which he quoted, is actually the root word for hilarious, which, you know, when you see somebody giving cheerfully, you're like, crazy. But that's how generous God's called us to be. And so anytime we battle with this, or anytime we want to say, oh, it's the law, it's the Old Testament, if you want to be New Testament Christian, it's not 10% anymore. It's actually 100%, because you're supposed to give Him everything. He's Lord. And we don't have offering bags that big. But you can put your house keys, your car keys in. I mean, that's really what the book of Acts, when you get the revelation of the cross, you just can't help but give yourself away. And so that's the sort of church we want to be, not just to give tithes and offerings to this house, but for the extension of God's kingdom in our city and in the nations. That's how it's going to happen. And it's also the opportunity just to stand in that protection and stand in that place of where God can just pour out his blessing on you. And so we don't tithe and we offer for that. We tithe and offer to as a response to all that he's done. And that's what I love about being a Christian, is that Jesus models generosity by being the offering himself.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.